First Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Reasons to rejoice. And there's been some rejoicing here tonight. Make that a blessing. If Paul could say, rejoice evermore, with 195 stripes on his back, been shipwrecked at sea many times, and scars from being stoned, Lystra and left for dead, beatings, often, all kind of problems, imprisonments, and everything else. If he could say, with all that, rejoice evermore, me and you all say it a lot of times. Is that right? We hadn't had all that yet. And Paul knew what it was. He had learned. He didn't know this when he got saved. Philippians 4:11. He said, I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith be content. He learned that by growing in grace, being rejected by the world, and actually forsaken by some saints. He had learned that godliness with contentment is great gain. Some suppose that gain is godliness. Some folks think if you're making plenty of money, you're being blessed. But that's not always true. In fact, the Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And you might remember this. Old Testament saints, that is the earthly seed of Abraham, Deuteronomy 28, Baker, you can find it, their promise was that their fields are going to bring forth big crops, the barn's going to be full, cabinets going to have plenty of food in them, all that if they've done right. They promised a lot of blessings, earthly. Then over here in the church age, you don't have any earthly promises at all. All of our promises are heavenly promises. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, he has given us a lot of earthly blessings here in this country. Most countries don't have what we have. That is, nice homes to live in, nice cars to drive, nice church buildings to come to, decent clothes to wear. A lot of people in the world don't have that. So we have a whole lot to praise God for. Actually, that material blessings that he's given to us. But I'm thinking about we'll rejoice because of the Bible we heard preached. Think about what it cost God to inspire holy men. And they wrote the Bible down, the Word of God down. And then God preserved it over here to our time. And the reason you're saved, God preached His Word to you. Now, God might have preached it through a public preacher. Might have preached it through another saint or something. But if you're saved, you've been begotten by the Word of God. James 1:18. You've been born to the Word of God. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. And you're blessed because of the Word of God. What a blessing it is to have God's Word. You know, God's Word tells us about our sins. We would not know how bad sin is if God hadn't told us in His Word. You think about what one sin brought in the world. Adam and Eve committed one sin in the Garden of Eden over 6,000 years ago, and sin's left its trail all the way down. Not one home has missed the results of that one sin. That's what God thinks about sin. And Brother Gary's talking about that law. That law, by that law, is the knowledge of sin. Well, there's no law, there's no transgression. And we have the law. It's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We will not be justified by faith. The law shows us who we are and what sinners we are and the condemnation we're under and the judgment we're bound for. The law, that was ordained to life, I found, Paul said, to be under that. I was alive once without the law. When the commandment came, he said, sin revived, and I died. Oh, I'm glad. Praise God, I found out the wage of my sin was death. The old preachers used to preach about sin. Some preacher made a statement the other day. Said, I don't think anybody's going to get saved unless they're preaching on sin. I said, listen, if men are not sinners, they don't need a Savior. Listen, the Bible talks about sin first. Before it talks about a Savior, it talks about your sin. In fact, Christ come down to save you from your sins. He come down to redeem us from all iniquity. I say, praise God, I'm saved from the penalty of my sin, and even from the pledge of my sin, and from the power of my sin. Praise God. I'm gonna, I found out about my sins because I heard the word of God preached. And I found out about the Savior because the Bible that I heard preached. Them old preachers preached about sin. And they didn't leave you there. They talked about a Savior that can redeem you from sin. Oh, He come down where we are that we might go up where He is. Praise God, He is made to be sin that we might be made righteous in Him. I say glory to His name. I didn't know anything about it. I believed His story about Him when I was brought up, you know. I believed His story about Him. But what a blessed day when I heard the Bible preached. And God let me know that Christ loved me and died for me, gave Himself for me. Oh, when I found that out, the doorbells began to ring in my bosom that I had a Savior too. And the world's got a Savior. Praise God. Are you rejoicing because you of the Bible you heard preached? Yes, we're told to preach the Word. Preach the Word. The Word of God. If the Word of God don't get the job done, nothing will. You know what I heard? I heard if I didn't get saved, there's going to be eternal separation from God. One day, listen, sinners will be turned into hell with all nations that forget God. Oh, we're eternity bound people. As long as God lives, you and me have to live somewhere. Oh, think about how serious the white throne judgment is. When the great God of the God the Creator appears in the white throne judgment, and the heavens and the earth flee away, and no place is found for them. And listen, the dead, grave gives up the dead that are in them, and the sea gives up the dead, and death and hell gives up the dead. Everybody stand before God, sinners from all ages, stand before the white throne judgment. And oh, think about the righteous God. Now grace has run out. Mercy has run out. Invitation's over now. And men's got to face God and got to face Him like they are. Are you glad you're not going to stand at the white throne judgment? I tell them, be sent to hell. I praise God. I believe I'll rejoice evermore because I've been saved from eternal damnation and the separation from God forever. Did you know the wicked, when he says, depart from me, and you cursed in the everlasting fire, there'll be eternal separation from God and heaven and everything that's holy and righteous and good. Oh, that's the saddest thing you can think about, is God saying, depart from me. I never knew you. I'm glad He can't never say that to one of His children, because He knows us. Hallelujah. Ain't that a blessing? We know Him, but He knows us. It's more important that He knows us than we know Him. And I'm rejoicing evermore because of the broken heart that I needed to repent. See, I couldn't repent. That's one thing the church needs now. I tell you, it's the power of God to break men and women's heart. People will never repent until their spirit's broken. God knows them of a broken heart. Saved such to give a contrite spirit. In other words, their heart's troubled because of their sin and their wretchedness and their anti-God attitude. Has God ever broke your heart? You know, man can break his own heart. And men's over hard-hearted today. In the days of Noah, every thought of the imagination, a men's heart become evil continually. And they've done every wicked thing and imagine to do worse than they've done. And we're seeing the same thing today. Can you imagine grown men abusing little children, 2 and 3 year old children? Oh, listen, men's hearts are depraved and desperately wicked, incurably wicked. God, don't break your heart. You'll go to hell without warning. Oh, I'm glad. Praise God. I wish I was coming and preach it louder. I'm glad God's Word. To have my God's Word. He says, my Word is not my Word like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces. Oh, my heart was hard as an adamant stone. I had no desire for God when I went and heard that Bible preached. He started pounding on my old heart and my wretched will. And one day, praise God, my will was broken. My heart was crushed. Hallelujah. And attitudes have changed. And I repented for God. And God forgave me my sin. I've been going to Him every day since I started that way. Hallelujah. That kind of stirs me up. How many of I rejoice because of the Bible I heard preached and the broken heart that I needed that God done for me. You better pray God will break your heart. You know, if your heart's not broken, one reason we give invitations, if you're to fall on that stone so he can finish breaking your heart. You see, the Bible says, if you fall on that stone, you'll be healed. But if that stone falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. You know, Daniel saw that stone. He was out of the mountain without hands. And it comes down through heaven. That's confusion, religious confusion. When that smiting stone that Daniel saw in chapter 2, when he hits this world, Antichrist kingdom, he's going to crush that kingdom. You just wait. It's coming to pass. Praise God. This Antichrist army that's determined, I tell you, to overthrow Christianity and overthrow the nation of Israel, their day is coming. Don't you forget it. Don't you? When they gather themselves to battle in the Middle East, over 200 million strong, that stone that Daniel saw cut out of the mountain without hands is coming down to crush the kingdoms of this world. Praise God. Hallelujah. That makes me feel jumbles in my soul. I can know that I'm on his side. He's in me. Praise God. Are you glad that he broke your heart? I'm glad he broke my heart. I couldn't have saved myself. I didn't even want to get saved. Before I got to hearing the Word of God, it created a hunger in my heart to want to know him and want to be saved from the terrible wrath of God to come. No, I didn't know how, but he knew how. I couldn't have saved myself, but I knew how. And so, what he wants you to do is just be a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Like the old leprous man. When he comes to Jesus, he's covered up in leprosy. He's full of leprosy. In Matthew 8, he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. In other words, I'm filthy here with this leprosy. It's going to kill me. I can't kill myself, but if you will, you can. Jesus said, I will be thou clean. And he got cleaned up, didn't he? Yes, sir. Praise God. Oh, listen. You know another thing I rejoice about? Because we're bought heirs. The bought heirs we are now, we rejoice evermore. In other words, we've been bought. Just as soon as you got saved, you become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, Romans 8, 16 said, the Spirit itself presents with our spirit that we are the children of God. If we're children, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, if you think about that just a minute, you think about how much God owns. And God gave it all to his Son. And the Bible says in Colossians 1 that everything is made by him and for him. So he owns everything in heaven, everything on earth, and everything between here and there. And when I got saved, I got to be a joint heir. So if that verse means what I think it does, he's talking to the church there that the church promised we're the bride. Did you know what your bride is? She is a joint heir. If you think she's not, you go to court and find out. In fact, she may be more than a joint heir. Because these crooked judges now give her more than they will you. Ain't that right? But what I'm saying to you, listen, we're joint heirs. We're into something great big. Heirs to God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And you think about that. When we moved into Christ and Christ moved into us, just as soon as we got saved, we become a joint heir with Christ. Not only of his righteousness and his holiness and all of his spiritual blessings, but since he owns everything, when it's all said and done, the bride is going to have the run of the new heaven and new earth. And all the third heaven and the second heaven, everything between here and there. Amen. I don't have time to preach on that. But I'm going to tell you something. That's what the world's doing now. The reason they're have all this space program, they're trying to beat God and do what God's going to let the saints do. They're trying to do it themselves. They're doing exactly what Nimrod done in Genesis chapter 11. Amen. Nimrod had a bunch of idol followers, and he's going to build them a tower to heaven. That's what the world thinks they're going to do. They're trying to escape what's coming upon the earth. When it's all said and done, and we get glorified, did you know Jesus in his body went all the way to third heaven and back in one day? Yeah, I don't know how many million light years that is. He went all the way to the third heaven. He told, didn't he tell Mary before he went? He said, don't touch me now. In other words, he's a priest. He's offered himself to God without spot. Through the sacrifice offering there on the cross. He's not on the sin offering and the sweet-smelling savor offering. He's the high priest making the offering. And God accepted on the cross. He goes, his body goes to the tomb and stays 3 days. His spirit goes down and in the underworld of paradise, takes the message of full salvation to Abraham's bosom, comes back the third morning, comes by the tomb, picks up his body, and goes back over to the tomb, and Mary starts to touch him. He said, don't touch me yet. I'm not ashamed of my father, your father, my God, your God. He went back to God with his own blood, entered in with his own blood, went behind the veil, sprinkled that mercy seat with his own blood. Amen. Eternal blood, I'm talking. Covenant blood, and then come back now and say, look here, you can touch me now. Praise God. Hell, redemption's done. All of it's done. Hallelujah. And when you get saved, you get a spouse, the one husband. And we're engaged right now. And when Jesus comes, there's coming a marriage. Revelation chapter 19, the marriage of the Lamb comes. And his mouth makes herself ready. And the heart was good. She could be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. This family is the right of the saints which was given to us. And there's a marriage going to take place, and a marriage supper going to take place. And a honeymoon going to take place. Hallelujah. And the Lord's taking things over. You'll be the loser if you don't line up with him. Right now, he's on the mercy seat with the blood sprinkled. The veil's been rent. The way's opened. We have one high priest now. You can come to God through Christ. And if you come to God through Christ, you can't possibly miss the blood because that's where the blood is. Amen. And washing in the blood is a judicial act. Yes, sir. When you approach God through Christ, you take hold of Christ by faith, that blood washes the record clean. See, you've got a record in heaven. There's a record book. And on my record book is all of my sins. And when God brought me to himself, and I come to Christ by faith, that blood judicially washed me. He washed that slate clean. Washed all them sins away. Put them in the depths of the sea. God said, I won't never remember them against you no more. And my name appeared there in that Lamb's book of life in heaven. Hallelujah. And you know what? Nobody can go up there and lay anything to my charge now. Praise God. As far as God's concerned, there's not anything wrong with me. As far as I'm concerned, I got a lot wrong. As far as you're concerned, I got a lot wrong. But as far as God's concerned, I'm in Christ. And God don't see anything wrong with me. Nothing condemns me on my record now. And if you can condemn me before God, you'd have to get to heaven, the third heaven, and get through the blood of Christ, and I'd make you saved. Hallelujah. Read it Romans 8. Ain't that what it said? Whosoever thing the charge of God's elect. If God is justified, if Christ had died, chest connected, Christ had died, and is even now at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. So, the law accuses us because we're guilty. But Christ does what the Lord required to be done. That you and me couldn't do. And now nobody can accuse. Not even the law can condemn us and accuse us because Christ is the end of the law. We're dead to the law. Had a fellow in the pen a while back, somewhere I heard about it or listened to it on the news or something. And had him charged all his crimes and he died in jail. They said, we can't do nothing now. I said, hallelujah. That's the way it is with me. You can't try a man's dead. Ain't that right? That's why the Bible talks about us dying with Christ. If you die with Christ, you can't never come back to trial for your sin anymore. You're dead. Didn't Paul say I'm crucified with him? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ live within me. But after I now live in the place, I live in the place of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the law can't never try us. As far as the law is concerned, we're dead. And our life is here with Christ in God. Y'all like that? I tell you another reason why we rejoice in more because of the blessed hope we have. You say, you know what? The world has no hope. And I know how it is to have no hope. That's a state of despair. The Bible reminds us in Ephesians 2, chapter 10, time, you were without Christ, being able to come up to Israel, faith to come to the promise, having no hope. That means in a state of despair. No hope. You know why people's overdosing? They're burying two, I guess today, this week, up home in the 30s. 20s all along, 20s, teens. Over. You know why? No hope. And go and kill his whole family. You know why? No hope. You know what? If we're saved, we've been begotten again to alive the hope. Now the Lord Jesus Christ himself, God, even our Father, has given us everlasting and consolation and good hope through grace. Now we got hope. We got more than hope. We got faith. And hope is based on faith. Faith is a certain place hope for. So we're hoping. We're rejoicing in hope right now. We're told rejoice in hope. In other words, the promise is that I'm going to get a new body. I'm hoping for that. I'm not hoping to get saved inside. I'm hoping to get saved outside. I'm going to get saved inside. Somebody goes on that. Hope always has to do with the resurrection. That is, rejoicing in hope. We're looking for the blessed hope. Our hope is that Christ had come. Now the world fears that. But the born again people, they rejoice in that. They're looking for him to come. They want him to come. Because the dead in Christ rise first, living saints, we get changed into a new body. See, I don't have a new body now. I'm hoping to get one. I got a guarantee that I'm going to get one. I haven't got it yet, but I'm hoping. I'm rejoicing about something I haven't helped yet. I'm going to get a new body. Right now, I've got a man inside that's born of God, outside man born of Adam, so they don't fit. Got a warfare going on here. Is that right? I told a preacher today, he got a little church trouble, he kept going. And I said, well, when people get carnal, they see the other people's faults, other Christians' faults all the time when they get carnal. I said, but now, if they mention to me about somebody's faults, I'm going to say, I don't want to talk about nobody's faults. I got too many of my own to look at. You know something, somebody don't tell me and tell me not to tell you because I tell everything I know. So don't tell me it's about somebody else's fault. My dad, you say, if you can't say something good about somebody's fault, let's say nothing. I wish I could do as good a job as he done about that. Hey, you got any hope? You rejoicing in the blessed hope? Think about when we get saved all over. See, we're saved inside, we're not saved outside, we're going to get saved outside. You think we'll make a lot of noise now, this way we get saved outside. The Lord's coming with a shout, and we're going up with a shout. I feel sorry. If there is any Christians in these liberal churches, which I doubt there are, but if they are and they hadn't heard a good amen in 6 months, won't they be surprised when the church goes out of shouting? Hallelujah. Oh, I'm like old May Jackson. He said, when the Lord comes and we start out of here, he said, I'm going to look over some of them quiet Christians and say, I told you this good all the time. And I'm not talking about flesh either. I'm talking about rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord always. I want your joy to be full, the Lord said. Life's too short and full of problems for us to go around here not having no hope when it's right down here on the bottom shelf. Are you glad the Lord put it on the bottom shelf where a fellow like me can reach it? I mean, you don't have to be able to read and write your name. You don't have to go to school one day. The Lord made it, put it right down where we can just be sinners, repenting, believing sinners, and he'll save us, praise God, right there where we can reach it in Christ. What a blessing that is. And I'm rejoicing even more because of the burning hell I missed going to. Did you know we're not a child of wrath? The Bible said much more than we justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God's a God of love. We know that. Everybody here believes that. But God's a holy God. And all the attributes of God are controlled by his holiness. And the reason that God won't regenerate and save a sinner before he repents, his holiness will not allow him to do it. He has to be faithful to his own attributes. So before God can forgive and save and regenerate you, you have to repent. Change attitude toward God and believe in Christ. See, God's holy. His love's controlled by his holiness. His wrath controlled by his holiness. The reason Christ underwent wrath on the cross, there was holiness responding to our sins. The only way holiness can respond to sin is in wrath. That's why, if you're not saved, you're a child of wrath. The wrath of God abides upon you, John 3:36. Now, you're in a love dispensation in the gospel age. But if you're to die and you're not saved tonight, before the undertaker could ever get your body, you'd plunge down in hell because you're a child of wrath. Because God's holy. That's John 3:36. He that lives in the Son of God has everlasting life. He that lives not shall not see life. That is, he'll never see life in Christ. But the wrath of God abideth on him. I remember being there. I remember sitting right in the church house while they're singing them songs like y'all are singing. It's a preaching that gospel. And I was sitting there, condemnation's on me, and I was a child of wrath. Wrath was hovering over me. Everybody else around there rejoicing in the Lord, you know, happy. And here I sit. I didn't understand it. I thought, why am I feeling this terrible way? I just feel terrible. I feel condemned. If people up there act just as happy, see, that's how green I was. I didn't know nothing, but I thought, man, I feel terrible. If I could die, I'd go to hell. I got afraid to drive down the road, afraid somebody hit me and kill me in the car. I couldn't sleep, hardly at all, and I didn't want to eat much, and I didn't know what to do. You ever been there? And I tried to get saved like I was. Oh, if I could have got saved like I was, I'd have done it. Yeah, and I was going to do my best to quit drinking. I'd done my best to quit cussing, and I'd quit going to dance halls, and I'd quit drinking, and I'd try to quit cussing. Really, I had before I ever got saved. I didn't understand. I was in the, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to quit this, and the Lord, looks like you could save me now. I want to get saved without making it public. I was going to be a secret disciple. I wasn't ever going to tell it. Nobody ever would ask me. Did you know, I'm nearly 74 years old, and I've never had one person in almost 74 years ask me if I was saved. Never had one person ever ask me if I'd like to be a Christian. Not one. Now, I've heard preaching. They asked me while I'm preaching. I'm talking about 101. Nobody ever asked me when I was growing up. Nobody ever, we was talking, some of my folks today, how rough it was around out there where I was raised, a section up on the mountain there back in the early 50s. It was rough. They didn't nobody witness to me. They had meetings and everything. Nobody ever asked me if I wanted to be a Christian, like to be a Christian. I didn't know anything about it. I was kind of like some of these other folks. But I didn't know that. I didn't know what to do. I knew what I ought to do, but I didn't want to do it. They'd give them invitations. Come. I want to get saved without coming to the Lord. I didn't want to come out there. I'm just too proud to do that. I just go get saved, open my room, be secret. And just, I'm going to never join a church, be baptized, nothing. I'll just quit all my bad habits, and I'll be a secret disciple, sit back here at the back, and be in church. Now, the Lord never talked to me audibly, but I heard him just the same. He said, nothing doing. Don't do it that way. Don't do it that way. He bore our reproach openly. You go and bear his reproach openly. Hardest trip I ever made in all these years was that Saturday night when I stepped out about halfway back and come down front. When my pride is totally broken, I just went down and up. Down and up. I was totally broken. See, God's holiness requires him to deal with you. Some of these guys getting up and talking about everybody being children of God, and even them so-called conservative talk show guys, Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and all them guys, and I appreciate what they say politically. What they say spiritually is stupid as it can be. They're all children of God, and God, we're all not children of God. Men is not saved children of wrath. Now, they get that in the Old Testament where Israel was all covenant children of God. They was under Abraham's covenant. That's why John chapter 11 calls them all children of God. Some of them was lost sheep. You and me are not children of God. We didn't have no covenant. We're children of wrath. You're not a child of God. You're God's creation. God put us on this earth. Think of the mercy of God's been extended to you. Just think about this. I've thought about it. You know, God kept me out of hell till I got saved. The only reason you're not in hell now if you're not saved because God's kept you out this long. Did you know, you think about the multitudes of people went to hell since this time last night. Multitudes of people going to hell. Every day, every day, every day, every hour. God's kept you out of hell for some unknown reason, but God alone, he kept me out of hell.